Our text again today is found in Esther chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Listen or follow along in the Word of God if you can. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put into execution, the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenants, and the deputies, and the officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. Then skip down, if you will, to verse 16. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemies of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. Our subject today is the conflict against evil. Last time we pointed out the salvation of a sinner as is set forth by Esther and Mordecai. And my friend, I want to tell you right now, the salvation is an experience between you and the Lord God of heaven. And if you're a true believer, you've had that experience. You may not understand all of it when it took place, but as it set forth before you, later on you grow in grace and knowledge, you can look back and see exactly the way the Lord God of heaven dealt with you. And as I said before, it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you if and when it does. However, when an individual is converted, because this is just set forth, we want to let you very clearly know that there's something that has to be done. When the Lord God of heaven reaches down and saves us, we commence to stand and live for the Lord. And the method of our warfare, because that's what we are, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we find we have a method that God has given to us as to how to war against our enemy. And this method is set forth right here before us in the book of Esther. So take your Bibles, if you will, and we find again the Jews were told by their king to stand for themselves on the 13th day of the 12th month. Listen again, if you will, Esther chapter 9. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. Now what do you have here? The Jews gathered themselves together, and I'll tell you what they did. They used a sword. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we see very clearly the Jews in the empire of Medo-Persia were ordered to stand by the king for themselves, and we find the same thing is true at this present hour. You see, believers are the doormat before God, but they're not the doormat to anybody else. And we need to understand that we don't have to allow everybody to run over us as so many think today. We are ordered to stand, like the Jews were ordered to stand in the Old Testament. And I'll tell you right now, we have a conflict. Now notice carefully, if you will, the Jews had to do what? They had to use a sword to do so. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we find in the book of Esther, the Jews were what? The Jews were ordered to use a sword, and we find the conflict that was involved with them was what? It meant the casting down of the strongholds and everything else. But we find, why do I tell you this? Well, I want you to notice in verse 5, thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. Now someone might say, well now, preacher, wait a minute. The believer doesn't have a sword. Oh yes, we do. But the believer's sword is different than the one that we're talking about at this present hour. We have a sword, and what is it? Our sword is the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is used by the power of the Holy Spirit to do what? To break down the strongholds of mankind. And these strongholds are pictured for us in the names of the 10 sons of Haman. And I'm not going to go into that because we need that for some other time. We see very clearly that the Lord God of heaven expects us to stand. Now, our sword, as I mentioned before, is not a physical sword, but it's a spiritual sword. And what is it? It's the Word of God. Listen to it if you will. We're to put on the whole armor of God, and notice carefully, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, it says these words, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, here's a method of our warfare. Number one, we're to stand fast as commanded by the king. And we find the command of God is given to us also to stand fast, because where is it? It's found again in the book of Ephesians. And I want you to notice what it says, if you will, in verse 10. "And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places." And I want to ask you a question. Are you standing in the Lord God of heaven today? Are you standing and exercising your power that God has given to us? You see, the Jews were commanded to stand as ordered by the king. Secondly, as I mentioned before, the conflict involved the use of the sword, all right? Our sword is what? Our sword is the Word of God. And we find there's no greater sword than the sword of the Word of God, because it pierces to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we need to use the Word of God, but we have to learn, we have to know how to use it, do we not? Then we find also what takes place. We see very clearly there's a casting down of strongholds. Now, what in the world are you talking about here? Well, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we see this set forth for our learning. Listen to the Word of God. Oh, I hope and pray that you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And how true that is. This is the conflict of the believer. There's a casting down of the strongholds that are necessary. Now, someone might say, "Now, preacher, where do you find them?" All right, the strongholds that are necessary are, first of all, what? It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. The biggest stronghold that you and I have as believer is our whole sinful nature. And we find we have to constantly battle against it. And how wonderful it is that the Lord God of heaven gives us the ability and the strength to do so. Now, this is set forth also in the book of Esther by the names of the sons of Haman. Now, one of them is this. The emblem of that name is goat, which stands for sin. The second one, the name means proud. The third one, it means a horse. In other words, a dull, headstrong disposition. The fourth one, having many chariots, which is a reference to resting in materialism in place of the Lord God of heaven. And then we find also the next one is upright, which speaks of self-righteousness. The next one is Aridatha, which is strong. And then we find Paramasta, which is strong-fisted, clutching, and grasping. And then we find also the last one is like a lion. Well, these were the 10 sons of Haman, and Haman's, they all stand for the workings of the flesh at this present hour. And we find the workings of the flesh is still in existence in the life of every believer, and don't you ever forget that. You see, we never reach sinless perfection until we get to glory. But we always have a battle, and we find on the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jews were told to battle for themselves, and we are told by the Lord God of heaven to do what? To take up the armor of God and stand and to keep standing. And remember one thing, our warfare is not carnal, but it's spiritual, to the casting down of the strongholds. And then the sword of the Spirit, which we have, is, I should say our sword, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we see also we have the guarantee of victory. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is. Now, let's go a little bit further, if we will. We find that the conquest of these things may take more than one day. And in Esther chapter 9 and verses 15 to 19, the city of Shushan had an extra day whereby they could conquer those enemies of the Jews. Now, why do I tell you these things? Because you and I, as a child of God, are in a warfare. Now, if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he's going to suffer persecution. But I want you to notice, the Lord God of heaven calls us to the warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen to what it says. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we see again, we war against the devil, we war against the flesh, and we war against the world. And we find the world will seek to do what? To destroy the believer if it's possible, or else to shut the believer down so that he has nothing to say. And we find Satan is behind that, because Haman in the book of Esther is a clear-cut picture of Satan, and we need to understand that. And then we find the conquest has to come by the sword of God, which is none other than the Word of God. Now, someone might say, well, now, preacher, in the book of Esther, the Jews had to stand or be killed. Are you listening? The believers today have to contend for the faith, which is once delivered to us, or will be overwhelmed. Now, where in the world do you find that? Well, take your Bible, if you will, and you turn with me to the book of Jude, the little chapter in the book of Jude. And what does it say? Listen carefully, if you will. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the weapons we use today are what? They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the casting down of strongholds. The Jews had to stand and conquer with a sword. They had to stand or be killed. And we find a believer today is ordered by the Lord God of heaven to contend for the faith or else will be completely overwhelmed. Now, what are you talking about? Well, 2 Peter tells us that there were false teachers in the last days, and there's going to be false teachers in the world at this present hour. And my friend, they're rising up more and more. And these false teachers will do what? They bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, or I should say the vast majority, will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And my friend, I hope and pray you know what I'm talking about. You see, beloved, if you're not living for the Lord God of heaven, you're not having any problems. But if any man will live for the Lord God of heaven, rest assured of one thing, you're going to have a problem. Because you see, our problem is not only consists of the outside, but we find also it consists of our inside. Because you see, Haman is a type of our sin nature. Now, our sin nature, like Haman, is obnoxious before the Lord God of heaven. And Haman was a descendant of Esau, an Amalekite, against whom God is arrayed forever. Exodus chapter 17 brings that out. And then we find there was no repentance or salvation given to the Agagites or the Amalekites. And we find Haman is a picture of our sin nature. And our sin nature is obnoxious before the Lord God of heaven. And don't ever get away from it. The second thing is this. our sin nature, like Haman, was opposed to anything spiritual. Mordecai stands for the Lord Jesus Christ and stood for the Lord Jesus Christ because he would bow down before Haman. And what happened? Haman hated Mordecai and he sought to kill him. And we find our old flesh today wars against the spirit because there's a constant battle in a believer's life. And what is it? We war against the world and we war against the flesh and the devil. And I'll tell you right now, we're in the middle of a warfare even at this present hour. As someone might say, a believer is either coming out of a storm or else going into one. And you know there's more truth to that than a lot of people believe. Then we find also the only way they can be overcome is by supernatural power. Haman was done away with by the supernatural power of King Ahasuerus. And are you listening? Our sin nature is kept under control by the work of the Holy Spirit as we walk and talk with the Lord God of heaven. Now, Haman had to be dealt with personally, and our sin nature has to be dealt with also by the Lord God of heaven personally. And I tell you right now, in other words, I can't clean up your life for you. You've got to do it yourself by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And then we find there's other fruits that are mentioned with regard to our sin nature, and they're pictured for us by the sons of Haman, and all of them had to be put to death. And we find, what are you talking about? All right, Haman, he stood for the what? The satanic trait. Some are proud, and some today are fighting against the Lord God of heaven, dull and headstrong disposition, because they don't want to do what God tells us to do, and we find this is always a battle. Now, the conquest, as I mentioned before, has to come by the sword of the Spirit, which is none other than the Word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you familiar with the sword of the Spirit? Are you cognizant of the Word of God? Do you understand it? And do you read it? And do you study it? And then do you memorize it? And I hope and pray that you do, because the Word of God is what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So you see, here you find Esther and Mordecai, a picture of the believer, and I hope and pray that something today has been said that will strengthen and encourage believers at this present hour. Always remember one thing. One plus God is always a majority, and when you're on the side of the Lord God of heaven, you're on the winning side. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye from the mercies of God, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late. Thank you.